good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Woo.
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And good morning. My name is Phil Vacchio.
Hello, Phil Vacchio.
Good morning, Dave.
Phil and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and some combination of us are here, is here.
We are here.
We are here talking to you about estate planning and elder law. We're not always here with Ben Patton, but when we are sure happy.
Well, I'm happy you guys are here, too.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Phil.
Do you hear that voice, Phil?
It's lovely.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I don't hear it enough.
Yeah. It's a call-in show. If you want to hear more of Ben, you can call, actually, at 518-476-5900. If you have a fact pattern and you want to talk to us in the office, you could reach us at 518-465-7581. And these days, there are four of those offices, Phil.
There are. I was in Queensbury this past week, the newest office.
How was that?
Love it up there. So peaceful. So nice.
So, Ben, we're in the process of creating a Queensbury office, but we are seeing people there, and where we're seeing people is this lovely common area of a like a rental building. Like
that's nice.
So there's a pool table, there's shuffle puck and ping pong, a gym, and then us.
Hence why I love it there.
I think I'd go to Queensbury if I had to.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I know, Ben.
So they said we could work out there if we choose to. I'm yet to bring a change of clothes.
Yeah, I haven't taken advantage of
that. That's going to happen.
But the gym looks nice. It's very inviting. I just haven't used it.
Makes me feel bad for what I'm not doing, actually.
Exactly.
So how's it going? How's your week? How's life?
Week has been great. Very busy, helping a lot of people, seeing a lot of people. Couldn't be happier.
Oh, that's good.
And it was my birthday week.
That's right.
Nice.
For better or worse.
How old, Ben, do you think that Philip Vacchio is?
Don't make him do that. What? Ben, you are on the money.
Is that right? Was that your guess?
How did you know that? Are you stalking me, Ben?
Yeah, 38. I might be.
Jeez.
38, right on
the... Right on the money.
Well, happy 30th birthday, Phil.
Thank you.
So your birthday has always been in the same week as April Fool's Day.
Right after.
How's that gone? No impact?
No, we get all the jokes out of the way beforehand, so I feel safe on my birthday.
Were you April fooled this year?
Lightly fooled? My wife tried. I would say she got me for a few minutes. Way home from work.
Child number four?
No, that's a ship is sailed. I can't be fooled there anymore. I thought I forgot I picked up my daughter. She told me, did you pick up Adrian? But I knew.
That's where I'm going with this, because that's not, I feel like that's a violation of the April Fool's understanding.
It gets too serious?
Involving children?
The second one was lighter. They set all the clocks back an hour now. I mean, I've put them ahead an hour.
Oh, that's funny.
So they got me with that one.
Ben, do you have a feeling about April Fool's Day?
We have an April Fool-free zone at Magic, so.
That would make sense. Because
we've done stuff happen. In the past that have been, kind of wild.
A little too much.
But now, fine.
It only takes one person to ruin the whole game. That's what happens.
Well, I was fooled very well by my wife.
Let's hear it.
And I wanted to bring it up because I feel like there should be something like suspending someone's ability to April Fool somebody else if they violate these understandings.
Okay.
So I was on a Zoom for a networking group, and in the middle of it, and we have a rule, Ben, where if I get a call twice in a row,
yep,
from wifey, I need to figure out what's going on.
Right.
Right. So I get a call twice in a row. So I say, sorry guys, I need to jump off the Zoom. Call my wife.
Right.
And I call and she says, when you showered this morning, did you have hot water? And I said, yes, I did. She's like, well, there's no hot water now. And there's water in the basement.
Wow.
Oh, that's bad.
And already I'm thinking, because my day was Saratoga and then up to Queensbury. And I'm thinking, I got to delete appointments. And this was in like 15 seconds. Yep. Because 15 seconds later, they said April Fool's. But that's not the point. Those 15 seconds have cost me like months of my life, I'm pretty sure, because I went through so many.
All that fear.
Pores immediately.
You're going to have to get a water heater.
Where it hurts a lot more, guys, is that we did have no hot water, and we did have water in our basement like 5 months ago.
So it was believable.
It was unfortunately too believable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And shame on you, Isabel. That's all I'm going to say about that. We'll move on to estate planning.
That's not nice to do to a homeowning man. That is a huge fear.
Or a father of a child that you may not have picked up for an hour. That's pretty bad, too.
That was bad. I knew, though. I wasn't even for a split second on that one. So,
well, let's get into some estate planning. And if you do want to answer or have ask a question, have it answered on the line here, 518-476-5900. Phil, you're award show season, Emmys and Oscars and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's Best Actor. Best Actor would be in our situation, our world is probably a Medicaid trust.
Yeah.
Or usually. Actress, right? You know, yeah. Actor, I don't mean male or female.
Didn't they combine it into one? Did they say actor, actress?
I don't know.
I think it's both.
Yeah, I think they have actor and actress.
Okay.
What would you say in estate planning is best supporting actor? Or
best,
actress.
Best supporting actor, document-wise, right? Yeah. Document-wise?
Yeah, give it to me.
A will. I would say a will.
What kind of will? Well, a will. I like that. That's a good answer. So what does a will do that would allow it to be a best supporting actor?
I always describe a will, in my the best version of a will, as a safety net.
Yeah.
Something that is necessary, but not always sufficient on its own.
It's going to get us there, but it's maybe not the cleanest.
Or it's going to provide that support to the main actor, which, like we mentioned here, is the trust. We want the trust to do all the work. We want the trust to shine. The will is there to support if needed.
And when we do a trust, we always do a will, and that's always a point of confusion for clients and during the signing, because we spend a lot of time, Ben, talking about, probate is bad, fire bad, probate bad, all that,
Right.
And then we say, but oh, by the way, here's a new will for you. And they'll say, well, wait a minute, what happened to all that? Wills are bad. And wills are not bad,
no,
to be clear. Probate is bad. We would like to avoid probate, but we'd also like to avoid, unfortunately, forgetting about an asset you have and it going to the wrong person. That's bad, too. And if we, God forbid, got hit by a bus or the hospital screwed up or who knows, and there's some sort of litigation, a lawsuit associated with our death, we don't want that to go to the wrong person, right? So that's worse than not having a will. So when we do a will, it's just to support that trust.
Well, we spend the whole meeting, right? Well, not the whole meeting, but a good portion of the meeting talking about how probate is bad, how we don't want to go through probate. And then we describe how will is probate. Will means probate.
Yeah.
But then they say you need a will. That's very confusing.
Yeah.
Even when you just, what you said, still confuses a lot of people. And when they walk in initially, a lot of times they don't know any of this. Right. What do you mean? I have a will. I don't have to probate. Right. That's the common misconception I hear, when in reality, will is probate. If the will has to be used, probate is the process, like we've said many times before, of validating that will in court, right? Having the court issue an order stating that the executor can begin acting and this is a valid will and the rules in the will have to be followed.
So big picture, if you're a client that did a trust, your trust says where things go. What assets are governed by your trust? Well, whatever you put in the trust, right?
Well, it's a huge part of it, funding that trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it turns out that there's something that fell through the cracks or, there's unclaimed funds for obscene amounts, there's, obviously bad news litigations, things like that, we at least know that money will go through probate. Well, that stinks. We all agree. But at least we know it'll end up in a good place, the trust.
Yeah.
And then from the trust, it'll go to whoever your beneficiaries are.
Yeah, it'll still get where you want it to get. And that's why it's still a necessary document. And an estate plan with a trust and no will is not a complete estate plan, in my opinion.
Well, Phil, we talk to a lot of financial advisors, and you see lots of commercials for financial advisors. And their commercials will say some of the services they offer, and it'll say, wealth management.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It'll say, maybe sometimes it'll say, annuities and creating your own pension or something like that. And a lot of times they use the words estate planning in what they do.
Yeah.
And they don't mean they create wills and trusts for you, but they help you plan who gets what when you're not here anymore. And that technically is estate planning. Estate planning isn't a will. It's not a trust. Those documents are part of this overall thing. So part of my estate plan could be a will or a trust. Part of it can also be life insurance, because that goes somewhere when I die.
Yeah.
It could be retirement, because that goes somewhere when I die. And when people say we want, you know, I had a couple situations where we have some special needs in beneficiaries or some spending needs or concerns with beneficiaries. So if the only money that these rules apply to, let's say one of your kids, Phil, is not great with money and you and Jen are concerned and you say, you know what, for our son, we're going to make sure he gets money over the next 20 years, 5% a year, just to, just so he doesn't, you know, go crazy.
Go too crazy all at once. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And you could have a will that says that. You could have a trust that says that. That's wonderful. If you have life insurance and you guys decide to leave your son as a beneficiary on it and his name is on that policy.
Yeah.
When you guys pass away, he gets that money. There's no rules on that money. Those 20-year provisions, that was in your trust. That was in your will. If you have life insurance and you named your son as a beneficiary, he gets that money like that.
Well, that's going to supersede everything. That's going to take control, that beneficiary designation. And that is a lot of misconfusion there, a lot of confusion where they think, I have these rules. It is going to apply to all my assets, not realizing that, no, a will controls only these assets, the trust controls these assets, the beneficiary controls these assets. And that can get confusing. And all those things really should be in alignment with each other. Most of the time. And sometimes you want different treatment for different assets, which we can certainly do. But you want to make sure you understand where each is going. And a good financial advisor plays a crucial role in the process of estate planning because those beneficiary designations are very important sometimes. And so you mentioned, right, having beneficiary designations, you lose that ability to control, right? If you name beneficiary, generally.
Yeah. What I say is on a sunny day, everyone's a great weatherman. Right. We don't have to really. In San Diego, I don't know how there's weather people in San Diego, by the way.
Every day is
that's
beautiful.
One of the greatest tricks that ever pulled was a job called meteorologist in San Diego.
Somebody's got to make money.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Someone has to say it's sunny every day.
But for fact patterns where it's not sunny or it might not be sunny or we know there's already a storm coming because we know, you know, how the kids get along, we do need rules on that money. And sometimes we want to put things into a trust, place them, retitle assets. But in the case of retirement benefits, in the case of life insurance, you could always point money to a trust or point it to somewhere where there's rules.
Exactly.
We had one of the gentlemen this week where this all kind of came from. He brought in with him a beneficiary form for life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, could we fill this out? And I said, sure, but look at that page where you're supposed to put your beneficiaries. And we looked at it. It's a name and a percentage. Sometimes they, you know, want some more details about who that person is.
Right.
But that's it. Nothing in that page said you could put rules on that money. Like, hey, you get it over 20 years or don't be a knucklehead or any of that stuff. So if we're good, if life is, you know, sunny days, well then great. We could just give money to our adult kids and all's well. And,
sure.
And these, you know, avoiding probate with just beneficiaries is wonderful. But as soon as it gets a little hairy, we got to make sure we have rules on the money. Because overall, the estate plan was not money to my kids, money to my kids, but for my son over time, for my daughter, hold it as a special needs trust and yada, yada, yada.
So you're saying achieve best of both worlds, right? Avoid probate, control distribution if that's one of your goals. And you can do that by having your trust as, well, either the owner. Or you can name the trust as the beneficiary on accounts. Because when you think about it, a trust is really just an entity that exists. A trust can own assets, same as you or I can own assets. A trust can be designated as the beneficiary. So when you do pass away, that account will still avoid probate because it's going to go automatically. The trustee will be the person to fill out that beneficiary claim form upon death. The company will pay it automatically to the trust. Now it's in the trust. And the trust controls the distribution. Now those rules we have, the 20-year payout over a course of years, that all applies. And we get both. Avoid probate, control distribution, and everybody's happy.
Best actor in a supporting role is a pour over will. And if we were actually at the Oscars, they would have played us off long, long ago. We've gone too long on this topic. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Welcome back. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And I'm Phil Vacchio.
And as Phil and I were talking about in the first half hour, this is a call-in show, and you can reach us at 518-476-5900. I don't think I've been on this show with a caller in about a month and a half.
I was about to say, we haven't had a caller in a while.
Been a dry spell.
Don't be so shy out there, guys.
I'll tell you, I don't mind sometimes when we have a lot, you know, like we have a chock full of topics to talk about. We could probably be here all day. But sometimes, you know, when you call and something's on your mind or you have a question, it's just going to turn into a, you know, 10-minute topic right there, and it's about educating everybody. So feel free to give us a call.
Yeah, I like to talk about the personal aspect of it, applied to a certain fact pattern.
If you were April Fooled in a particular way and you want to share it, we'd love to hear it.
Appropriate, on the appropriate things.
We can provide judgment as to whether there needs to be suspensions.
Absolutely.
Privileges. I'll tell you who's not suspended are my kids, because they also April Fooled me.
Nice.
In a very ironic way. So in the shower, right, I have like soap and like body wash, right? I don't need shampoo and conditioner like other people necessarily. However, I found out that my shampoo situation got a little stickier because children not to be named put honey.
Oh,
that's a good one.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Phil. That's the whole point.
Does honey come off easily?
It did.
Okay.
Eventually.
Thank goodness.
Finally. We're good.
I was wondering why you smelled differently.
I smelled so... I can't walk through a field of flowers because I'm going to get attacked by bees.
Yeah. Or don't sleep in the woods.
It's like, you know, when we do the Armenian cookouts and the barbecues and all that stuff for like 3 days, I smell like kebab. It's amazing. It's delicious. This is the opposite. I smelled like honey.
That's still delicious.
No.
So, Phil, another interesting thing that came across the desk this past week. I'm trying not to bring up the one that you just dealt with.
Okay.
At the end, we'll talk about that. So a client came in, and they're doing well. They weren't in for Medicaid planning. They were a couple in their 50s, and life is good. Okay. They have estate tax issues, life is good.
Yep.
Okay. So millions of dollars and so on. And that's not why we're talking about them. They came in and we went through the process for the signing, that is. So like other signings, they came in, they had drafts tabbed with notes and questions, and they said, "I'm not sure if we're going to sign today. Just so you know, I don't want you to be upset, Dave, because we have lots of questions." And I said,
"Fair enough.
Of course you do. Let me go through this the way we do it, and hopefully it's like a game. If I naturally answer your questions, then I feel great. And if I don't, we'll talk about it."
Yeah.
So we did the whole thing. And at the end, you know, they signed everything. All questions were answered. And at the end, she said, "You know, I'm so happy we did this, because I've been really trying to get my parents to come in to do estate planning, and they've been very hesitant. And my mom said, you do it and you tell me how it went, and then maybe we'll do it." And the reason why I bring it up is I cannot believe we live in a world where kids are doing trust planning to convince parents to do trust planning. Like, people are living that long.
I was about
one.
To say, I'd like to assume then that these clients were very young, but that might not be the case because people live so long.
Well, if they're in their 50s, upper 50s, then, you know, parents are what, plus 25 years?
Yeah.
So 80.
Yeah, which is
82,
normal
83.
Nowadays, yeah.
That, I mean, normal, but that's the danger zone. That's, you know, sure. Bad things. Val Kilmer, we didn't even talk about Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer.
65 years old.
Very sad, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So 80s, not bad, right?
No, it's a good life.
But to not have a plan.
So the parents had nothing, you're saying?
They had the most basic of I love you everything's, everything to each other.
The sweetheart plans.
And what the reason why their planning was is so important is that they happened to have some property in Lake George where, you know, that's a whole other topic, by the way, these lake houses, where the value of these properties, the upkeep of these properties, the use of the properties, mm-hmm. the taxes on the properties, how does sibling who's not doing as well as sibling who's doing really well, who wants to keep that property, buy out people. There's a lot of nuance, you really need a plan.
There's a ton of variables.
It's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, for sure.
So to not have that plan and to be convinced because your daughter did, it just cracked me up. And I thought, what a world where everyone's living so long. I mean, we've had situations where you have clients that do a Medicaid trust, you know, and they're in their 70s, early 70s, late 60s, and yada, yada, yada. And then they say, okay, well, we got to go. I got to go pick up my mom or take her to the doctor. Your mom's still alive. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. For some people, ignorance is bliss if you can live like that, right? Oh, it goes to my kids, and my kids love each other, and they're going to figure it out. And some people can live like, you know, me personally, that ain't me. I need to have all my I's dotted, T's crossed to make me feel comfortable.
Ben doesn't know how comfortable you need to be. He never was part of the paralysis conversation.
Mm.
Ben,
happens all. Yes.
I hate to bring this up again, but it's Phil takes a lot of time in his decision making.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Regardless of what it is. You don't want to go out
He's
to dinner.
He's careful.
You don't want to go out to dinner with Phil.
More so on my personal decisions.
Oh.
you know. For someone else, I can make a decision fairly quickly.
Oh, okay.
It's a personal thing.
He checks, double checks.
Uh-huh.
Google reviews, Yelp.
I use the example, like, it'll take me, like, 4 hours to buy a blender.
Yeah, and actually,
it has to be the right one.
I'll tell you what, that went up an hour in the last couple of months. So apparently
sure,
you're getting
low.
It was three last time.
Well, this time, I was extra careful.
That's funny. Well, so... Look, everyone's got to have a plan, and the sooner the better.
The idea behind this part of the plan was for this couple to do estate planning to show their older parents it's a good idea.
Hmm.
Do we know if it's worked yet? Have the parents now?
So the reason was they really need to create this plan, and if God forbid, you know, the plane went down,
Of course.
Date night went wrong, there would be a lot of New York State estate taxes. So we did a plan to avoid that.
But the ulterior motive also at the same time.
1,000%.
Like, yeah. Get the parents to see, hey, we did it. Why aren't you doing it? Type of see.
It's not so bad. They know what they're doing. He's a nice guy, whatever. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world.
So they were vetting you a little bit.
I think it was everything.
All the above.
Because, you know, maybe in your 50s, these days you're a little more used to the idea of trust and this and that. You know, it seems like they're doing well, and maybe they're a little more sophisticated in the world of finance and so on.
Well,
they're also seeing their parents age.
Yeah. Well, I think also each generation, it becomes a little less taboo from what I see. And sometimes the older generations, particularly, you know, so we still have some clients that lived through like the Great Depression, right? Yeah, it was a long time ago, but it's feasible. I mean, probably the last ones are maybe dying off now, right? What was it? 19,
They could have been
100.
Kids during it.
Yeah, so living through that and the idea of, you know, giving up quote-unquote control we always talk about, which while we can tell the person till we're blue in the face, that's no, you're not giving up control. Their mind is so set in that. They've experienced that. It's hard to deter them away. The younger generation is more like, oh, we've seen this. We've dealt with our parents. That's the perfect client for us, someone who's dealt with it with somebody else. Like, I don't want my family to go through this.
I'm imagining the stereotypical, you know, dad, don't touch the thermostat on the house type of thing. And then we're
Total
talking about
control.
Retitling the house.
Oh, my God.
To be in
give
a trust.
Guy, give the guy palpitations.
Yeah.
Just the conversation.
And the, you know, I think the not fair to say, but I'll say it, the older you are, maybe the more black and white you are in the world in terms of irrevocable or revocable. That's it. There's no middle. There's no gray.
Yeah.
Where there is a lot of gray now with estate planning in particular. So last thing,
okay.
Phil,
yeah,
it's
right.
time.
Mm.
So may I set this up?
Yeah, you can set the scene.
A little bit. And so Phil did me a favor. He got a power of attorney, or he attempted to get a power of attorney signed. Mom's in a nursing home. Mom's been in there for a very long time. Mom has dementia. Mom had long-term care insurance. And son of a gun, she has lived through all of her coverage.
Wow. Bill. Yeah.
She had a certain kind of long-term care policy that is called a New York State Partnership Plan, which means
the Platinum Plan.
She is asset eligible for Medicaid, meaning as we get her onto Medicaid, we're not really worried about 5 years. We're not worried about what assets she has. Okay. But Medicaid also has income rules, and a lot of the things that she owns produce income, and we'd like to lower that or change that or manipulate, and there's a whole world there. Won't get into it. She also owns a house that is one of the kids are living in, or one of the grandkids are living in, but that is in her name, meaning probate.
Yep.
Right? They never did a trust with the long-term care policy. They just did the long-term care policy.
Yeah.
So I talked to the kids. I said, listen, we could get her on Medicaid, but I think there's some low-hanging fruit here. You're about to go through probate when she passes. Let's retitle the house. Now, in our world, that's considered a gift, Phil, right? Gifting it to a trust, gifting it to the kids, getting it out of mom's name without her getting money back.
Right, correct.
And the problem is her power of attorney from way back when did not allow the gifting authority that we always talk about.
Yeah, so that section was not executed, initialed.
So we said, all right, we can try for a power of attorney signing. If it turns out it doesn't work, if it's really important, we can do a guardianship. If the numbers match and probate's that big of a hindrance, we'll do a guardianship to get to the same place. But that's more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to get the power of attorney signed.
Yeah.
And how'd that go?
Well, I didn't sign the power of attorney.
Okay.
But I provided some much needed companionship and support to this woman for a little while.
She was unable to sign the power of attorney.
She was unable to sign the power of attorney. And great idea. Typically we will try, right? Try meaning, let's meet the person. I'm not going to take the kid's word for it, whether she's competent or not competent, unless it's very clear. So we'll meet. And, I think when it came down to it, she thought I was there to be more of a friend, companion during this time.
I understand.
Reading between the lines.
Say no more. So she has moments where she can recollect things from the past.
Yeah.
She knew the number of kids she had. However, there were times, from the kids, saying to me, where she thought maybe she is in the nursing home and her father is going to be picking her up soon.
Yeah.
There were times where she thought her husband had not passed away, and he had passed away some time ago. But there are also times where she was kind of clear, and in the law, we could actually get lightning in a bottle and give it a shot.
Yeah, they call it a moment of clarity. If there's a moment of clarity and they know what we're doing when we're doing it, then that's fine. They do have capacity still.
Yeah. And she had the capacity to see a young Italian guy from Long Island and say, well, why don't you come sit next to me?
Yeah.
Mr. Phil. But
that capacity.
But not
there.
The capacity to sign a power of attorney.
No.
And the ramifications of it are going to be thousands of dollars just by probate, and the amount of income dollars that we are likely forced to contribute to her long-term care situation each month going forward is going to be in the thousands, unless we do a guardianship, which will, by the way, cost more thousands.
And
you could have done the power of attorney the right way.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. And, you hate to say do it the right way because you don't know what the person's mindset. Well, I think the older power of attorney may have been, 10 plus years old?
15 years old.
15 years old. So 15 years old, again, to get into the mindset of this woman 15 years ago. And I don't know what the conversation with that attorney was, but for whatever reason.
But it was newer than that. And that's the problem, is it was actually in the last maybe 7-8 years that the power of attorney was done. It just didn't initial the Section H for gifting riders and this
right.
and that.
Right.
Which is a different story altogether for a different show, which is why you need to go see an estate planning attorney or elder law attorney, even more important, for those powers of attorney, because we need to make sure.
Well, we want to avoid this situation that we're in now. And, always good to give it a try, but the better option is to do it when you're still fully competent and it's not a question at all.
So I don't know how to scale the shades of red, but 1 to 10, how red was your face at the end of that appointment.
Ask Maddie. My assistant was there with me, so she can attest to. I think I stay pretty cool, calm, and collect. Yeah, I think. I would like to think.
Good luck.
I don't know for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was an interesting situation. But anyway, it's something to laugh about, and I think I made her happy for a few minutes.
That's so wonderful. That's a positive note.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you think for one moment it was some sort of April Fool's prank I was pulling on you?
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.